Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, hanging out with you on this Thursday, as we do every Thursday at 9:45. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, senior writer with them. Greg, it's been a busy few days here in Smashville. What's up?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's it going? First of all, breaking news. Kyle Dubas, the new president of hockey operations for the Pittsburgh Penguins, just announced moments ago. So he didn't lie when he left Toronto. He is not going to be a general manager in the NHL this season. He will be a team president.
Yeah, so no, it'll be even better.
Nuance wins. But yeah, you guys in Nashville, don't waste any time in making some news, man. It was fun to see it all kind of happen so quickly. Not fun for John Hines, I'm sure, but fun for the rest of us to see some changes happening down there.
Yeah, and I'll get to that part of it in a second. But Andrew Brunette was introduced yesterday. I got to meet him for a second. Seems like a really humble guy, very similar to Barry Trotz. I mean, you can tell that Trotz, he's getting somebody that he's going to be comfortable with. Obviously, he's coached him. He's known him for a long time. 31 years, I believe, is what he said. But we've asked you about him before, and we saw the year in Florida, and then we saw the postseason. I think it's safe to say that, you know, Florida wanted more of an established coach, and that's why they find themselves in the Stanley Cup final. But what was your initial thought when you heard the news that Andrew Brunette would be the fourth head coach in Predators history?
First of all, it's my first thought was it's staggering to think there's only been four.
I know.
For a franchise that's been around for that long. It's kind of amazing. My first thought, of course, is that, you know, first of all, we have to mention that yet again in the National Hockey League, relationships, nepotism, what have you, it all comes back to who you know. And obviously, Brunette played for Trotz, so that's one of your first thoughts on it. I interviewed Brunette when he took the job in Florida. That job was very unique. I mean, taking over for Joel Quenneville after he resigned, you know, basically trying to keep the ship pointed forward in Florida at a time that was really chaotic and unpredictable. And he did a really good job of that. But I remember talking to him about, you know, taking this gig and whether he wanted to be a coach, because in Minnesota, he was an executive. Didn't really seem like he had the burning desire to be a head coach in this league. But I guess he found it. You know, I think it's pretty easy to find it when you have a President's Trophy winning season with Florida, when you go to the playoffs, when you learn how much you don't know in a series against John Cooper. I'm sure he's learned even more with coaching with Lindy Ruff in Jersey last year. And the thing that I like most about this hire is Barry Trotz, one of the more defensive-oriented people I've ever met in my life when it comes to hockey philosophy, indicating that they want to play more offensive, more up-tempo. And Brunette got to see what that looks like firsthand in Jersey, one of the most exciting teams in the league. And if they can import some of that to this roster, then Preds fans are in for a good time.
You'll laugh at this. So after the press conference, they did, you know, the little side scrums to kind of break them up. And so they had Brunette on one side and they had Trotz on the other. And I was standing in Barry Trotz, and somebody brought that up of, you've always kind of been a defensive-minded coach. And he laughed and he said, honestly, like, I love offense. I've coached offense. Just every team I go to needed defensive help. And so I've kind of always been viewed as this defensive-minded coach. I laughed at that because, I mean, I guess in some ways it's true, because Alex Ovechkin had, you know, an incredible year under Barry Trotz as his head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes you a little bit like Daniel Day-Lewis saying, I can do comedy. They just ask me to do drama. You know what I mean? Like, he's just really good at defense, you know? I mean, Ovechkin's going to have those numbers with anybody behind the bench. But philosophically, like, this was one of the things that we were really curious about with Barry Trotz, right? Like, he gets hired to run an organization for the first time. What does that look like? Does it still look like a Barry Trotz team? I mean, Lou Lamoriello with the Islanders, no matter where he goes, that looks like a Lou Lamoriello team, you know, building from the crease out, playing conservative hockey. It's not like he's ever gone to a place and they become a fire wagon team. And the same question existed for Trotz and what his philosophy was going to be, especially at a time when the National Hockey League is completely offensive. Like, we are in a goal scoring era right now, and you can't, like, try to manage your team the other way. You can't swim against the current. So to hear that and to see who he hired, I think are both really positive signs for his philosophy on what a team needs to be right now to win, and what this roster may end up looking like.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Now, the the John Hines part of this. Trotz talked about the process and that he wanted to take some time. He wanted to evaluate, but then he went into it a little bit more and basically said that he was going to find the right guy, and he had three candidates. I think we all know Spencer Carberry was one of them, but he did not mention him by name. He mentioned Andrew Brunette. He mentioned Carl Taylor, the Milwaukee Admirals head coach, and he said that if he didn't feel like he found the fit, then he was more than comfortable keeping John Hines. That creates a little that's a little awkward, you know, if I'm just being honest. But I think Trotz is a very honest guy. What was kind of your thoughts on that process and maybe how John Hines was ultimately treated when he was let go 2 days ago, which he even said he has told people that he was in limbo up until that point when he told he wasn't going to be the coach.
Yeah, you know, I actually think he did him a favor, to be honest with you. Like, if in his mind, in the general manager's mind, you are the fourth choice, right? Like, just do the guy a favor and get rid of him, because you're going to get rid of him eventually, right?
Right.
And you just kind of, you know, look what's going to happen for John Hines. I mean, by all accounts, and I've heard the same thing here in New York, by all accounts, he's very much deep in the mix for this Rangers job. If you keep him around into next season, knowing that there were three other guys you wanted instead of him, then you're preventing him from getting work. And at the end of the day, he might go and coach an original six team because Barry Trotz fired him. And so I know there's a lot of like interpersonal stuff, and Hines is a really good guy, and we never want to see, you know, people lose their jobs. But if that ultimately leads to him getting opportunities now that he wouldn't have gotten in season if this happened, then I think this is actually working out in his favor.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN joins us. Greg, sticking on this John Hines topic and kind of looking towards the future for him, I mean, we heard some reports come out of New York, so you feel confident saying that he is very much in the mix to potentially be the next head coach of the New York Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a relationship with Chris Drury, their GM. You know, the timeline has been kind of extended. They were talking to Peter Laviolette. They've been talking to others. The Hines availability, again, has pushed this thing even deeper. I mean, we're seeing some of these teams start to make their big decisions ahead of the Stanley Cup final because the NHL doesn't like when news breaks during the biggest spotlight series of the year. And so you'd imagine the Rangers would have already made a call on this already, especially with, you know, some of the other coaching decisions that have been made. They haven't, and I think part of that is the availability of Hines. I'm sure Drury was side-eyeing the situation. I mean, anytime one of the greatest coaches in NHL history takes over a team, you get the sense he's going to want his guy in there, right? He's going to want to make a change if he didn't hire the coach that's in place, and Barry obviously didn't. So I imagine Drury knew that this was going to be a possibility and was maybe just sort of waiting things out a little bit to see if it would happen, and it happened, and I'm sure he's very much in the mix.
It'll be interesting. It'll be Hines versus Lavi, the former Preds coaches for New York.
Right.
And one could get Columbus. You never know.
Well, and that was my next question leading in perfectly. What do you think about, you know, the Columbus job opening right now, and who's the front runner for there?
So I have my own choice for Columbus. It's a guy named Pascal Vincent. He was a associate coach there last season. He's been toiling in that organization for a bit. I think he's going to be a really good NHL coach, and I would love to see him get an opportunity to take over a team and grow there a little bit. But, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody earlier this morning about the Columbus job and, you know, what does it mean? Like, how sexy is that job? Like, is a guy like Peter Laviolette or Mike Babcock or somebody, do they really want to coach in Columbus? And I think that's a really good gig. You know, they've got some pieces in place in Goudreau and Laine. Don't forget Zach Werenski, who was hurt the entire year, who's maybe one of the top 10 defensemen in the league. They've got some young players coming up, including a very high draft pick this year. And that's also a place where the bar is set pretty low. Like, you can go there and coach for 5 years and know that you're probably not going to get fired before that just because of how much growth that team has to have. I mean, my God, Gerard Gallant just got gassed after 2 seasons in New York. You know, that's the pressure on that guy versus the pressure in Columbus. So I think it's a pretty desirable job. It's a good place to live. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are some bigger name veteran candidates that'll move ahead of the queue of than Vincent, but I think that he'd be my guy if I was going to be Jarmo Kekalainen for a second.
Real quick, game one will be on Saturday. What do you think about this cup final? Who you got?
Dude, it's fun. It's a real fun cup final. Two teams that play a really aggressive style and are hard-nosed. I'm taking Vegas in six. I think their overall depth, especially on the blue line, they've got four lines rolling right now. They've got veterans that have been there before, and they've got home ice advantage. And I think all those things add up to them winning in six. I'll also share this. I thought this was really interesting. So the Panthers are tied for the fourth longest layoff between the conference final and the Stanley Cup final. And two of the teams in front of them on that list were the Bruins team that lost to the Blues in seven and the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim team that lost to the Devils in seven. So we might be looking at seven, but it doesn't look good for the Panthers based on the history of this thing.
That is an interesting stat. Definitely one to keep in mind. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll see what other news comes our way before we talk to you next week.
Thanks, Greg.
Awesome. Thanks, folks.
Thanks. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every Thursday at 9:45 to discuss everything going on in the NHL. Obviously, it was a busy week for the Predators. We will get into the Titans and D-Hop. Vrabel addresses DeAndre Hopkins. And I agree with Jared. I don't say that a lot. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.